Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
What will the new year hold for the commodity markets, and how should farmers approach protecting new and old crop income? We'll ask those questions and many more today on Commodity Week. Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later in this half hour, we'll talk with the Vice President of Allendale Incorporated, Bill Biederman. Our panelists in studio are Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group out of Decatur, Illinois.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Let's open today's discussion with this question. How would you characterize the health of the ethanol market, which is the foundation upon which, I suppose, $4 corn has been laid? Paul Cooley.
Well, the ethanol stocks and the New York Stock Exchange were very strong this week, and of course we passed an energy bill. The ethanol people like to have cheap corn and high-priced fuel. They have part of the equation right called high-priced fuel.
Wayne Nelson?
Well, Todd, I think the short-term health is very good. The energy bill, of course, pumping up things in the meantime here. But, of course, you know, we've down the road after 2010, they are going to be looking at some of the ideas of whether how much we're hurting food costs, feed costs, and everything along the way that might change some of the energy bill's mandates.
And Dan Zwicker.
Well, I think the energy bill gives it new vigor, at least in the short run. But I think there's still some structural problems in maybe getting to the levels that we want to get to this year. Now, ethanol margins have improved quite a bit here over the past few weeks. But the grind still looks to probably be a little high on the balance sheet. There's probably room for some downward adjustment in usage this coming year, or at least this current marketing year. But I think as you look down the road longer term, we're going to see a pickup.
Paul, you said they need two things, high crude oil prices and cheap corn. So maybe you better talk more about the second one.
Okay. Well, we all like to talk about the price of corn. One of the things that is, you know, it is expensive to build a new ethanol plant, and it takes a lot of inputs. And, of course, with the subprime issues, the money center banks are going to be a little slow at coming up with added funds. As far as as Dan said, we are seeing some profitability, and of course, the ethanol producer has two tools: the buy-sell pad, a hedge account, and also grain storage that they have to basically lock in good margins. And you know, basically, with the runaway energy market, I'm sure that they took every advantage of keeping their inventory full, and also owning some on paper, because a lot of people use that strategy to actually price their fuel. So being long inventory is a key deal. I think that's also a pretty good strategy for the American farmer, and also anybody in industry, is to have big storage tanks to take care of price swings.
Dan Indicator, and I don't know how much you can or will want to talk about this, do they discuss the possibilities of picking ethanol plants up on the cheap in the near term?
That's above my pay scale. No, there's been we've seen some press releases suggesting that, yes, ADM would look at anything out there, but it has to fit within the ADM structure, and it has to fit within its operation. So, yes, ADM is looking at ways to expand renewable fuels, but there's nothing certain.
Wayne, what are producers talking to you about in terms of acreage in the coming year? how they feel about the marketplace at this point. They've been awfully happy, I think, in recent months, of course, with the kinds of prices they've been getting for corn and soybeans and wheats. And wheat, that's a pretty easy call, but it seems to me that they might be awfully nervous looking out at the future of agriculture.
Very frustrated, Todd. They feel that everything they've done has been wrong because anything they've sold, which looked like fantastic prices at the time, has been wrong. They've sold a little more than they would have liked to have because it has went up so much in between. And we're seeing some that are just very frustrated with trying to hedge this market and the margin calls they have to make. They're also very optimistic in the respect that the prices are high enough. They feel they can actually make some money last year and, of course, this coming year with what they're at. But at the fertilizer prices, the fuel prices, and everything going up astronomically is sort of putting a new little fear out there in the amount of money out and looking at the prospects, what's going to happen in the next year and down the road.
So tell me, maybe, and I can have all three of you answer this, and Dan, why don't you start? What's the difference, do you think, on the cash grain side for producers at this point as compared to a year ago when they may have started making new crop sales? Are they better off today, do you think, in terms of the potential profit margins they might have if they were going to make a new crop corn sale, or will they look back next year and say, oh, I sold it too cheap again?
Those are very interesting questions. I'm not too sure. We've done a pretty good job of lifting the whole commodity complex higher here over the past 12 months. I mean, last year it was just about corn. This year, I'm not too sure if corn's probably not the star this year. Actually, it ended up $10 wheat. Whoever thought we would hit $10 wheat here a year ago, and same way talking about $11, $12 soybeans. So actually, I'm not too sure where corn's at compared to a year ago, but I don't think it's – I know we're in record highs on December futures, but we're not really substantially higher compared to when you start looking at soybeans and wheat. I think there's I think there's even at these price levels, I think the looking at the charts, and that's all I can do, really looking at the technicals, it does look like we're attempting a solid breakout of the 33-year price ranges that we've been kind of confined into here over the past 33 years. So either we're this is one big bull trap, or it is the beginning of some price levels that was only reserved to the widely newsletter writers in the past.
We'll talk more about that in a second. What are your thoughts here?
Well, we hate to say that we've moved up to a new plateau because every time we've said that in the past, it seems to go away. But we have seemed to have hit a set of inflationary factors that are finally hitting agriculture, which has lagged way behind compared to a lot of other things. I think the energy, the fertilizer prices, the cash rents, the land values, the seed corn costs, all these things are just making it very expensive to be a farmer these days, and it's costing them a lot more to put a crop out, and they've got a lot more at risk with everything going on. We seem to have taken over a little bit of the weather factor with some of our new hybrids and some of the breeding that we've got there, Todd. But the farmer is very nervous because of the amount of dollars he's putting out per acre and just has out there at risk, and compared to what can happen in natural disasters such as no rain, a drought, too much rain, hailstorms, windstorms, whatever, and a lot of value out there, and especially in the high-priced machinery.
As far as inflation and energy have put about 35 cents a bushel in new crop prices above expectations, I think the Central Illinois farmer put on a lot of fertilizer this fall and early winter, both dry and nitrogen-wise. It's the other areas that from a geographic point of view, that it's just not and soil types that it's not easy to put nitrogen on that they're concerned with. But they have a lot of their inputs booked. Another factor is marketing this grain. The biggest headache we hear out here and the biggest cringe by the American farmer is these super wide basis levels on wheat, beans, and new crop corn. And that's one reason why I think they are trying to do more hedging on the home front instead of relying on commercial channels for that service.
Dan, let's follow up on the new plateau that you discussed the potential for earlier. It seems to me that when we discuss new plateaus, and I've heard a new plateau of maybe $3.40 as opposed to $2.42, which I think is the average cash grain sale over the last 30 years or since the early 1970s. Should we be discussing it really as a plateau in income per acre as opposed to dollars per bushel? And might $3.40 not actually show any more profit margin and that what you're discussing would be a different sort of plateau?
Well, when you get into profit margins, that's a different equation. I mean, I think that will have to sort itself out over time. But I guess I don't like to use the word new plateau. But, I mean, it does when you, as Wayne and Paul both mentioned, is that everything seems to be going this time. Everything's going higher. Now, that doesn't mean that we're not going to have some corrections and some squeezes here and there. But it does look like all the costs are going up. I mean, the input costs, I think, it depend upon whether or not the producer has locked it in, is somewhere variable cost, probably on an acre of corn, is somewhere around $350. Cash rent values now on the good stuff is going to, I think you're going to see a common $350 acres. You're going to see a lot of $350 cash rents. We are ratcheting everything up to a little higher level. So, but when you look at, $4 type cash corn, you got 450 futures, 50 cent basis, $4 cash corn. Multiply that by 200 bushels, you get $800 an acre gross on that. So, you get $700 input cost and land rent cost. You make $100 an acre, and that's what a lot of farmers are looking at if they're bidding up this cash rent value.
Will 2008 be a good year for producers, do you think, compared to 2007?
Well, definitely LaSalle Street, the Chicago Board of Trade, not only got the Thanksgiving turkey, they got the Christmas ham as well, Todd, this year. So it is, in my opinion, a 2 or 3 good year deal. But I think we have awakened some big giants in the world, and not only the European Economic Community, but the big player, Brazil. And before the show here, they have over 600 million acres in Brazil alone that they can turn into row crop production. So we are looking at a situation here where we're starting to see early evidence that the Russians are buying farm machinery in record amounts. And also in South America, production agriculture is very profitable. And so we're going to see a tremendous acreage increase in production down the road. So not only is it good, but the scary part here is that we have awakened a very giant called Brazil and Argentina.
So good for a while yet. You're thinking 2007, 2008, maybe some of 2009?
And, the first crack in the egg, of course, is in the wheat market. I think the wheat market's definitely going to put in an early top. And we are going to see some spreads between corn and wheat come in very closely. And don't forget, wheat was the thing that led us out of this basically price dullness that we saw.
Can I turn to the technician and ask him to talk a little bit about wheat market and where you see it?
I think we should.
Well, the volatility that we've seen in this old crop months is not necessarily good or a signal that we're going sharply higher. And I would say technically the wheat market is the most vulnerable to any kind of decline. But I don't think anything's been violated yet, not to talk about some higher price levels yet. I think this spike to $10 made all your technical momentum indicators all got into that overbought category. So we've kind of hesitated in here. But the way the market's acted this past week, I mean, it tells you the corn and soybeans are wanting to lead here. Wheat has been the leader up and for a long time. So maybe the strength in corn and soybeans is going to be able to spill over and help out wheat. So I wouldn't necessarily give up on wheat seeing higher values yet.
Now I'll ask each of you to give your best advice on protecting income in the coming year. In a moment, let's go through the numbers from the Chicago Board of Trade as they finished the nearby marked contract in the wheat pit, which is now the new lead option at $10.95 on the high, the low at $9.38 and a quarter, and the settlement for the lead option wheat at $9.49, up a dime from last week. July futures $7.89 and a half, a penny and a half higher. March corn futures are $4.48 top, low at $4.30 and a quarter. New lead for the March now, $4.43 and a half, as the lead option up 23 and a half cents from last week's settlement price. December contract of $4.62 and a half cents, settlement price up 12 cents from last week. Soy complex beans, January futures $11.78 the high, the low at $11.46 and a quarter, settlement price at $11.77 and a half, 20 and a half cents higher, and November's at $10.94 and a quarter, up 43 cents. December live cattle futures at $93.50 on the high, the low at $91.85. Settled at $92.10. They were down 50 from last week. January feeder cattle at $103.82 and a half, up 2 and a half cents. And the hogs finished like this. The February is at $60.25 on the high, the low at $59.20. A settlement price at $59.72 and a half, up $4.62 and a half cents in the hog pit from last week. So, Paul Cooley, tell me, what's the best way to protect income in the coming year?
Well, I'm going to pay more attention to the corn market, and you have to, I think, take a little more aggressive role in corn, and I'm going to leave beans alone for at least 30 to 45 days here, Todd. But I think the corn is, and the reason I say that is it's very easy to protect upside price by buying some bull call spreads if you are aggressive sellers of corn at this level.
Wayne Nelson?
Well, Todd, I think I agree with Paul. We need to be aggressively pricing a certain percentage of our corn crop here at these levels. And how we do it, whether it's in the cash market, whether it's with puts, or whether it's a combination of puts and selling some out-of-the-money calls. One of the things that we did today, I think we bought 450 puts and sold 2550 calls on a certain percentage for different people at about even money. So that locked us in between the 450 and 550 bracket there.
And Dan Zwicker.
Well, there's all kinds of different kinds of strategies you can take. But the thing that I think farmers have to decide, and this is what they don't like to decide, is what they'll take for their grain. And then they have to live with that price. And that is the hardest thing to come about right now. I mean, you can defensive-type pricing strategies, always trying to protect the downside, you got to understand that strategy from the get-go sets you up for opportunity loss on the upside. And you just look at market advisory services across the spectrum. I mean, it's typical when you get into a bull market that they all get everybody too sold, too soon, too short, too low. Farmers now have seen that happen a couple years in a row now because we've had fall rallies out of very strong fall rallies. So I think that's where they're at. They look back and they see that their sales this past year, they could have did a better job. So now it makes them a little reluctant to do much on the new crop. But they have to decide on what they want for that, what they want, and then live with that. But I kind of like put strategies at the moment because it does give you a second chance to resell it at a higher price level if this thing does kind of go up through the roof.
In 2 minutes, we'll ask Bill Biederman of Allendale the same question, how to protect income in the coming year. You're listening to Commodity Week.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. Illinois residents enjoyed relatively quiet winter weather this week after a major winter storm affected the state for the second weekend in a row. Temperatures this week averaged near normal in snow-free southern Illinois to 6 degrees below normal over west central Illinois, where a blanket of snow and ice covered the ground. The weather began to moderate late this week as winds turned southerly ahead of yet another approaching storm system. Precipitation this week came as rain in the south and snow in central and northern Illinois last weekend as a strong low-pressure system moved northeast out of the southern plains and then curved through western Ohio. Snowfall from the system reached 7 to 8 inches across central Illinois, and a few locations in northeastern Illinois received up to 10 inches of snow as winds off of the lake enhanced the snowfall.
Sleet and some freezing drizzle mixed with the snow at times in central Illinois, while in the south the precipitation fell as liquid. Rain showers developed on Thursday in central and southern Illinois as the warmer air pushed northward, and now December precipitation is well above normal throughout the state. Another wintry shot of cold air will push into Illinois this weekend, and seasonably cold weather will see us through the last week of December. Precipitation is an iffy call right now. There could be some light snow or flurries Christmas Day, with perhaps a more substantial storm event toward the end of the week, but time will tell. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. You're listening to Commodity Week on AM 580. Please visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. If you do, not only will you find this program, today's program, as a podcast, but you will find the December 29th program as a podcast posted there already. We spoke with ag economist from the University of Illinois, Daryl Good. Sign up for the podcast at willag.org. Joining us now from Crystal Lake, Illinois, is the vice president of Allendale Incorporated, Bill Biederman. In addition to being responsible for the Allendale Advise Report on DTN, our guest has contributed numerous articles to magazines over the years, and we thank him for being with us. Thanks, Bill.
Well, it's a pleasure to be here.
Let's start with that question. How would you tell farmers to protect income in the coming year?
Well, I think we've got a serious challenge here, because if we don't protect it, and this market does decide to fall apart, and it could, for many reasons, you could lose a lot more money a lot faster than you've ever done, because your cost of farming are substantially, like as in 80%, 180% higher than they were back in 1980. So, you know, it's a big deal. So we have to do some pricing. We have to look at this not as a gambler, but as a businessman. And the way I would do that is with up to 30% cash forward sales. Just lock it in, be happy. And then if you do want to protect the upside with an open-ended option, then wait for a break into the spring before the summer starts heating up and talking about yields. So 30% cash, 25, 30% cash. Then I would go another 30% and I would do it with options. And I would use a box strategy or a window strategy or something that will keep the upside somewhat open.
What would you do if you're already 30% sold at a 50 cents lower on corn and $1.50 lower on beans? Do you double up here on the short side and sell more, or what do you do?
Well, I think what you do then is you have a goal that, you know, before we sell off and say, oh my gosh, they're going to plant acres, because economically we're at levels that where everybody's going to plant an acre. And before the trade figures that out and sells off, you need to be about 60% sold. So, Dan, I think you were asking the question, yeah, shoot for that next 30%, but use options this time. But that first 30% that you sold, I think, Dan, you brought up a great point. You got to make a decision, and you got to be happy, and you can't look back. So on that first 30%, if you sold it 50 cents ago, you're not alone. Just don't worry about it. But if we get a substantial pullback, and a 10% pullback in this market is substantial, you get a pullback of $1.50 in the beans and 60, 70, 50, 60 cents in corn, then go in and you can buy some calls. You can do it relatively cheap. Heck, you can go out there and spend 12 cents and buy a $6 call right now. So just buy a cheap call. If we have bad weather this summer, can any one of you guys even guess how high we would go?
Bill, at Crystal Lake, we consider you, you're north of the Illinois River, aren't you?
Yep, I'm by the border.
What's your take on the corn bean as far as planting's concerned? Will they reduce bean acres? And the other question, a follow-up question is, what's your opinion of the last USDA yields for Illinois on corn and soybeans? Are they right, or did they cut them too much? What's your take on that?
Okay, well, your first question is, what are we going to do about acres? Paul, you've got the hardest question that anybody could ask, and I don't know if we've got some preliminary numbers we're working with. We're still doing some survey work and things like that. This is going to be the crux of the problem, and to be quite honest with you, we have a program that we wrote here in our office. It's called the Acreage Shuffle Program. We steal little acres, throw them over to the beans, and now all of a sudden we don't have enough for the corn. And if we steal a little bit away from the corn or from the beans and bring it back to corn, then we don't have enough for the beans. And then if we take away from the wheat and put it over, you know what I'm saying? It's a shuffle program. And I don't know. I honestly have written to Darrell Good. I've written to some folks in Washington. I don't know what people in Washington are thinking. I mean, how can we go ahead and triple the amount of ethanol that we're going to produce if we don't have the acres to do it? You know, I just don't know how to solve the problem. So that's the first hurdle to get through. And to answer your question specifically, we're going to increase these wheat acres. We probably increased them more than 4 million, but we'll probably shave that back to about 3.5 million, 3.6, something like that, more wheat. And then we'll use some of those acres that are going to get planted for wheat or get counted for wheat, but they're going to get double counted when they get put back to beans or corn. So we're going to have some ghost acres this year that show up in the statistics. But, yeah, we're going to have to increase these bean acres 6 million, and we really can't cut much more than 3 million off the corn, or we won't have enough corn.
Barring any severe weather problem, what do you think the trading ranges will be for corn and beans for the 08 crop?
Economically, we've already been there. We've got there. When we hit 440 on diesel 08 corn and 1050 on the beans, we got to an economic level where if you look at where's equilibrium, we've reached it. I mean, you can make $60 an acre today selling cash corn for 08 and $51 an acre for beans. That's a 10% and 13% return. Do you realize that back in 1980, we were making a 12% return? It's about the same. The problem is this. The farmer can make this money right now today, but the end user is struggling, and it's the pits. So we are not in equilibrium right this minute. But the market's not going to go down just now. So barring good weather, you're going to see an early year high just like we did last year. We saw it in February. We'll probably see it earlier this year. And then we might see a test of that in the summer like we did last year, but we never made a new high last year. And so the guys that sold early were the ones that had the best sale. My question, though, is, well, what if we don't have good weather? That's a scarier thought.
Bill Biederman, we appreciate you being with us.
You bet. Appreciate being here.
Thanks much. Bill Biederman is vice president at Allendale Incorporated in Crystal Lake. And now a final word from our panelist, Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services.
My private weatherman feels we'll have beautiful rains in South America in the next 14 days. And also, I think there'll be another 1 to 2 million acres show up, maybe 66 million acres of wheat planted in the U.S.
Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities.
Well, Todd, we're along with Paul's idea that we're going to see some more wheat and double crop beans coming in with that, so that's going to help the bean acres grow. So we're just a little bit apprehensive about the beans going real high. We'd also like to take this opportunity to wish all of you a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
And Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group.
Yes, I'd like to take this opportunity to basically wish everybody a very Merry Christmas and a very prosperous New Year. We're going to start off the year with some very good price levels, and it should be a good year in 2008.
That wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Our thanks to Dan Zwicker, Paul Cooley, Wayne Nelson, and Bill Biederman. Something to keep in mind, you can access this Commodity Week program and analysis throughout the week on demand on your computer. Just visit willag.org. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at agrigold.com or at 800-262-7333.